anyone has, you're on.
Can I ask a question about deity worship? It's just, you mentioned on a few occasions that human devotees asked you about worshipping Radha Krishna and Shalagrams and Govardhan. You very often mentioned that actually the best deity that we can worship is Govardhan.
Just speak a little louder.
You spoke on a few occasions about how rather than taking up worship of Radha and Krishna and Shalagram Shilas, we should concentrate just worship Guru Nitai. And you said a few times that actually this is the best deity that anyone can worship in this age because we get all the benefit. So I was wondering, why is it that Srila Prabhupada even introduced Radha Krishna worship at all if it's best that we just worship Guru Nitai?
Because Radha Krishna is the goal of Gaur Nitai worship, and it's what Gaur Nitai are teaching us to worship, and therefore it's not a secret, it's something that should be known, and that's in our temples, and Prabhupada writes in his books that devotees can also obviously worship Radha and Krishna as well, considering that there's a standard for worshipping Radha and Krishna, and considering how difficult it is for people to actually maintain themselves to really keep a family, it's much more advisable that they select a deity that is more within their reach in terms of proper worship. Radha and Krishna are not that deity, or Jagannath, or necessarily even Shalagram. But Gaur Nitai have very little requirements. Their standards can be very simple and basic, not low, but simple and basic, because kirtan should be there and devotion should be there. And if you see what devotees end up doing in the long term when they worship deities, generally that's the standard that they're capable of maintaining and taking responsibility for. One is the maintenance and responsibility, something else. Deities live longer than you do. So what can you guarantee in the future? Are you guaranteed that your children are going to take care of your Radha Krishna deities? If not, then you got a problem. If it's with Gaur Nitai, you don't have a problem. So Srila Prabhupada established deities in the temple, because that's our business. But temple is just that. Temple is meant to be at the proper standard, highest standard. Grihasthas who want to worship Radha Krishna deities, their main focus should be live around the temple and come and do puja there. One would expect that devotees want to live around the temple anyway, because that's where you get good devotee association and so on. And so the community is based around the deity. If someone can maintain all those other things, that's fine. But I don't see it. And even especially with Shalagram Shilas, Shalagram Shilas can tend to be like some kind of collector thing, that people collect Shilas and then they move them on and give them to someone else. Just the natural flow that you see, it's going on all the time, this constant trade and movement of shields, that's not what it's about. So, Gaur Nitai, and ultimately they give you the topmost benefit. So Srila Prabhupada was very, very concerned about how, just like his Radha Damodar. Why am I worshipping Radha Damodar? Because someone's not worshipping him properly. That's right. But at least I don't have my inaugurate some other invite, some other Radha Krishna deities, deities that I'm worshipping because someone else is neglecting them. So that's an issue, and they weren't necessarily neglected, perhaps for many years, but ultimately that's what happens. So we need to think about that, is that this deity worship is something that, you know, goes on into the future for a long, long time, and what is it that we can best assure the Lord? What about the deities Prabhupada installed? And what about the Radha Krishna deities Prabhupada installed in temples? There are many places where they're not worshipped at the same standard as they were when Srila Prabhupada was here either. So if temple worship is difficult to maintain, then what to speak of home worship, where it's really dependent on just a few people.
Instructions where he's asking devotees to focus their attention on the temple deities, and then as your disciples we also have your instructions in that regard. What do you do when you have devotees in a community who would, you know, they may say, well, you know, Shiva Ramaraj says this, but my spiritual master told me it's okay to worship these deities, and then you find that the temple deities, it's difficult to maintain their worship because Brahmins in the community are more interested in their own deities. How do you address that situation?
Right. Have the temple president, GBC, communicate with the spiritual masters. And because usually unless someone is managerially involved, they don't really know all the details of what's going on, and they're just responding to when someone's writing a letter. So when someone writes a letter, do you think, Guru Maharaj, do you think it's all right for me to worship deities? Then you can just easily say yes. Of course, the most ideal thing is to say, talk to your local authorities and see what they think, or how's the local temple deity worship being done. So we're an international society with sort of common standards. I don't think it's so much, you know, Sri Ram Swami versus some other guru, but rather what is actually beneficial for spreading Krishna consciousness and for making devotees Krishna conscious. And unless spiritual masters, Vaishnavas at a distance, are actually get the full picture, then they can't necessarily give a real complete answer. But that was Srila Prabhupada's concern also. Priority is temple. It's like what to speak of deity worship. Prabhupada's priority was that all the devotees eat at the temple. He says, why do you want to cook at home? This is just extra work. Cook and eat at the temple. That's no longer necessarily a standard, but you'll find it there. Prabhupada's conversations that devotees who are living near the temple eat at the temple, saves you from cooking at home. It's much more economical, and so on. Of course, when people have their own diets, and there's also something to be said about the development of grihastha life, and that certain grihastha activities, such as eating together at home, are done. But anyway, those were Prabhupada's thoughts, even just on that. So Prabhupada wanted our activities to be communal as much as possible, and to have communal worship.
If
Can you just hang on one sec? Yeah, and when you have Gornitai deities, then the standard can be very basic and simple, so it doesn't interfere, because there's no problem with having Gornitai deities in your home, and it doesn't interfere with the temple worship. It can, you know, dressing can be once a week, it can be once every Ekadasi, whatever you eat at home, that's all you offer. It's very, very simple and basic. And the other issue, just going back to what my spiritual master says, that ultimately it's not necessarily what Shivaram Swami says or what someone else's Guru Maharaj says that's really the determining platform. What does your GBC say? Who's the real authority? Who's the first person that one should turn to? So I don't think that necessarily the first person that one should turn to is one spiritual master, whether one wants to worship deities. They should ask their GBC, the local temple president, and then in relationship, and then temple president will say, well, you know, I don't really think that right now we can afford such and such person to be worshipping deities. Then if the temple president says, yes, you can have Gornitai, get the blessings of your spiritual master, then you write your spiritual master. So that's another issue, which I think is a greater issue than what people are worshipping at home or in the temple, is who's really the authority when it comes to these things. Not really the authority, both are authorities, but who should one actually really approach? And in a situation like that, devotees neglect the fact that their local either temple president or Nam Hada leader, GBC or authority, they're the ones who have the responsibility for the local deities, for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. They're the ones who are more in know as to what's going on in the devotee's life than the spiritual master. So why not ask them? Why not ask them first? And on the basis of that, say, Guru Maharaj, I got the permission from my local authority to worship deities. Can I do so? And then the spiritual master will give his opinion. But that's my understanding, and that's what we just recently worked on, and there's been a new sort of law and paper on the role of the spiritual master in ISKCON, is that the spiritual masters always defer to local management, and they don't make independent decisions, but they first, the devotees are connected to the line of authority, local authority, and also to their spiritual master. But in terms of issues like this, then the process should be like that. Local authority, and then the spiritual master. You know, start with the spiritual master, and then use spiritual master's instructions as like some kind of battering ram to beat your local authorities over the head with. Not necessarily a popular law or vision, but it's certainly what's going to make ISKCON a united Krishna consciousness movement, and not one that fractions into splinters into different guru followers, which is and becomes a federation of gurus and their followers, that's just a notch above the Gaudiya Math, in the sense that they're all sort of part of legally the same institution. But actually, it's just another fractioned society where the type of unity and unification that Srila Prabhupada really wanted isn't there.